This is the 343 Podcast. I'm your host, John Pronich. Welcome to the show. In previous episodes, we've discussed language and why it's wise that we update our soccer vocabulary. Well, in this episode, we are going to focus on just one word. The word is remarkable. Gary Kleiben joins me to answer some of these questions. What is remarkable? What isn't remarkable? What are the good and bad sides of remarkable? Which players consistently demonstrate that they're remarkable? What's the difference between consistency and a single remarkable action? What about coaches? Are there any remarkable American coaches? As I pointed out in a different episode, changing just one word in our soccer vocabulary opens up a whole new realm of conversation. This conversation is yet another example of that. After a quick message about our coaching education program, we'll get started with our discussion about the word remarkable. When it comes to coaching education, being able to discern what will and won't help you can be costly and confusing. The internet is flooded with so much information. There are tons of drills out there for you to watch and tons of things that you can try with your players and teams. But without the proper context and the proper guidance from a legit mentor, you are not going to get the edge that you are looking for or the results that you want. That's what the 343 Premium Coaching Education Program gets right. It's rooted in the real experiences of a master practitioner that has coached soccer right here in America. As a coach, Brian Kleiben has been able to overcome all of the obstacles and produce college-level, professional, and international-caliber players. Training just twice per week, kids missing practices, field congestion, pay-to-play, you name it. But using the 343 framework and staying consistent with the methodology has led to tremendous success. What the 343 coaching program offers you is a look at Brian's actual work, his real art. It's all captured and delivered to you in its purest form to help you gain an advantage and become a better coach. This exclusive online program features videos of Brian mic'd up during actual training sessions with his real players and teams as they prepare for league games and tournaments. This is the only program in the country that gives you this type of authentic, behind-the-curtain look at player, team, and coach development. It's unlike anything else in this country. It cannot be replicated, and it's not theory or speculation like you'd see in a presentation or something staged like you'd get at a convention. So if you're looking for drills, we've got those, but more importantly, we have the mentorship, the proven results, and the community of ambitious coaches that you won't find anywhere else. To experience all of this, consider joining the 343 Premium Coaching Education Program. You can find all of the details at 343coaching.com. Yeah, so when is something remarkable is the topic that you wanted to cover today. And maybe just real quick, if you can kind of jog your memory about what made you think about that. Is there something specific that happened or something that you saw that made you write this down?
Well, I guess I can rewind to the origin story of the word remarkable being in my everyday vocabulary now. I think it really came from Seth. I was exposed to Seth Godin, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, read almost all of his books, stemming back to that time frame. And that's a word that he would frequently use. And I wouldn't. And so now it's part of my vocabulary. And I use it, you know, via 343 in the soccer community now that I engage with. And now it has kind of permeated into the soccer community as well. I don't know if you've noticed that, John, also in the past couple years, the soccer characters in our community are using the word remarkable.
I actually haven't noticed that very much. But Where are you saying like the American soccer crowd is, or just soccer?
Yeah. No, the American soccer crowd, or maybe I'm just sensitized to it, you know, kind of like when you're shopping maybe for a car. I know I've been shopping for a car for a while, and you have an eyeball on a particular model, make and model. All of a sudden you see them on the road everywhere, you know, because you're sensitive to it. So maybe I'm a little bit sensitive to the word, and I've noticed it starting to creep up in Taylor Twellman's rhetoric or other people's rhetoric.
Well, I mean, that's interesting that you say, you know, Taylor Twellman first, because I know that he engages with us quite a bit. So that to me would make sense. But I was thinking more along the lines of like Mo Adu or Stu Holden or those guys. I don't hear them say it.
Well, thankfully I don't listen to them as often.
Yeah. I also wanted to ask you too, is because you also speak Spanish and you listen to a lot of broadcasts in Spanish as well. Is there a word similar to remarkable that is being used in the Spanish language?
Good question. Nothing pops out at me.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll come back to that. And after we talk about the, you know, like how would you use remarkable to describe something in a soccer sense or even in a non-soccer sense? Like what makes you want to use that word or what qualifications must be there in order for something to be remarkable?
Sure. So the first thing that comes to mind is, and I think that's probably the definition of the word, it's something that's worthy of attention. And then, you know, the second thing that comes to mind is there's a lot of things that are worthy of attention, good things and bad things. So something that's most recently on my mind, you know, because it happened yesterday, Sporting Kansas City played against Vancouver Whitecaps. And the broadcasters, it was Stu Holden and somebody else. I don't know who the somebody else is, but one of the two mentioned, oh, Peter Vermees, you know, he has this player on his roster that spent some time in La Masia during his youth years. And, you know, it's great that he's here now because Vermees' style of play fits very nicely with Barcelona's methodology. Something I'm paraphrasing, but something along those lines. That's not what's remarkable. What was remarkable, I consider that a remarkable thing for all the wrong reasons, right? Because I strongly disagree. And in fact, I believe that they're doing the fan base harm when they're saying what I consider utter nonsense like that. It was worthy of attention to the point where I had to tweet something about it. And so I did, and thus proving that I found it worthy of remark. You know, so that's one angle. And the other angle is trolls. You know, trolls sometimes are worthy of remark. The things that they do obviously incite interaction and incite engagement. So clearly whatever a troll is doing is worthy of attention or worthy of remark. But again, that's not the type of remarkable I think we want to discuss here. We want to discuss the complete flip side of that, which is remarkable things that human beings say or do that are more positive, if I can say that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. And it almost sounds like Stu Holden or whoever made that comment was thinking that whatever was happening in that moment in that game, they were thinking to their standards that that was something remarkable in the good sense.
Perhaps. Yeah, perhaps. Or they're simply, you know, since they work basically for the league, MLS, and they definitely want to market the league in a good light, they're taking any opportunity to try to, you know, compare the league in a good sense to the best club in the world, Barcelona, or one of the best clubs in the world. You know, thereby the fan base says, oh, wow, you know, Peter Vermees, he's like on Barcelona's type of level, kind of, or whatever. So we're kind of there, we're making progress. So that's kind of the way I usually see these positive remarks from broadcasters to support the league. That is to say, I don't think they believe necessarily what they're saying. They're just taking an opportunity to prop up the product that they're responsible for.
I'm sure you remember too, a couple of years ago when Toronto FC was on their, you know, championship season, they, like the best season in MLS history. There was all kinds of marketing around that. And I think at the time they also had a player that had come through La Masia. It might even be the same player. I don't know where that player ended up. But yeah, the comparisons were being made between Greg Vanney and, you know, Barcelona, and their TFC was playing this, you know, quote unquote remarkable style of football and never been seen before in Major League Soccer. And then they go into CONCACAF Champions League and yeah, they lost in the final. And then the next year they finished like bottom of the table in Major League Soccer. So they were no longer being compared to Barcelona after just, you know, 8 months.
Right. And every season it's a new team. you know, and then it's LAFC, and then it's, you know, somebody else. But there's always one team or two teams or one coach or two coaches that they cycle through and prop up and compare them to the best in the world somehow, some way. But so anyways, that I think that brings us to a point I also wanted to make on the good side of the equation, that consistency matters in order to make something, in my opinion, truly remarkable in the sense of remarkable that I want to discuss. Which involves consistency. You know, Barcelona is consistently remarkable in the things that they do. Messi is consistently remarkable in the things that he does. Same with Ronaldo, same with Germany, same with Brazil, things of that nature. But before we even get there, John, I think there's another type of remarkable that maybe we should discuss. And it's recent, you know, some people can relate to, is Pulisic. You know, Pulisic's action, particular action versus Liverpool. Or we can talk about his whole game performance, which is also quite remarkable as well. But for those who may not have seen the game or the highlights or want to just a refresher, you know, Pulisic, you know, received the ball on the left wing, dribbled by, you know, two, three Liverpool defenders. And remember, this is Champions League, defending Champions League caliber players. So he dribbles by three guys, you know, serves a sweet, you know, on the ground cross across the goal mouth that ended up being an assist for a goal. And everybody's going crazy over that and rightfully so, because it was truly remarkable. But it's different, you know, if that type of remarkable versus a remarkable where you have a player that does those sorts of actions every single game of every season for 10 years. That's a different type of remarkable. So I think there's a distinction there that needs to be had.
And the way that that was sensationalized in American soccer media was handled. I think that was handled poorly. And specifically, you know, somebody like Matt Doyle tweets that there's only five people in the world that can do that type of a dribble and an assist. And you see, I saw something like that, and I was like, that is absolutely absurd. That comment is absurd. And I even mentioned, I think, in my response to him, is that, you know, to compare Christian Pulisic to somebody like Messi, well, he needs to do Messi things, which is consistently doing that to every single opponent in every single game over the course of many, many years. So the consistency aspect is something that I also look for when evaluating a player. Now, like you mentioned, two single actions can be remarkable. I'm thinking of like, I think it was in a World Cup match when Robin van Persie had that header that was like from outside the penalty area off of a long ball that was driven forward, scored a beautiful goal. Like, that's a remarkable action, but he didn't do that consistently. He didn't score like that consistently. So, you know, to put him to say that, you know, van Persie is one of the best headers of the ball in the world, well, that would be an inaccurate statement, but that doesn't mean that his action in that moment, that single action, wasn't remarkable.
Right. No, these sorts of single moment, single events happen all the time in world football. They happen everywhere. They happen in the Italian league. They happen in the Spanish league. They happen in Holland and England and in Germany. Every single weekend, it's not a stretch to say that you have two, three, four, a dozen of these remarkable actions, whether they be dribbling actions or goals or whatever. I mean, you have the ESPN top five here in American sports constantly happening, you know, where things are remarkable. And that's why they are on the highlight reel. But that's one type of remarkable. And then the other type of remarkable, which takes us to a whole other level, is what you just finished describing. It's this consistency component. You know, I'll give you another single action remarkable that's a little bit different, but it hits close to home. You know, Uli debuted for the senior men's national team at age 18. Okay, whatever. That's not necessarily remarkable. But what might be remarkable is when he debuted, you know, he got the start against Costa Rica here in Los Angeles. He had only played U19 football up until that point. He had not played a single minute of first team football yet. And yet he performed remarkably well in that game, to the point where it's easily arguable that he was man of the match on both sides, on either team, for either team. and scored the game-winning penalty, and the rest is history. So that is worthy of remark. It is remarkable, but I wasn't on social media blowing him up at all. I don't think I said anything, period, about that event. What Newley needs to do now is go grind, earn his spot overseas, and become, you know, a consistent performer at the top flight. That's the distinction. So things worthy of remark? Yeah, it's worthy of remark. It was remarkable? Yeah, it's remarkable. But is it outlier level type shit? No, not yet. Keep working, bud. Same with Pulisic, same with coaching, same with anybody else, same with anything else.
And it seems like that's been the barometer used when you speak about Christian Pulisic specifically, is, you know, you've kind of said like, hey, like that's good, but it can still be better. Like you still need to work. There's still years and years and years ahead of you that, you know, you're going to need to prove yourself. This one action does not make you, you know, legendary or, you know, enter the category of, you know, top 5 in the world, top 20 in the world, top 50 in the world. Not yet.
No question. You know, in South America, and you may have heard the expression via Brian, of football has no memory. It's once the event is over, you can celebrate it, you know, that evening, tomorrow, maybe throughout the rest of the week, but then it's over. That's history. You know, it's what can you do for me now sort of thing. And if we're going to keep talking about Christian, well, Christian has some obstacles coming up next season. In particular, there's a lot of purchases that Chelsea made, and there's a lot of competition for him. So if he can continue in this form and beat out that competition and be the consistent starter, that's definitely worthy of remark once more.
Yeah. And you know, the truly, like the truly remarkable in the sense of like the consistency and longevity sense of remarkable, you know, that's when you enter that category when there's no question that you're going to be in the starting lineup, you know, and you're the first choice every single week. When there's doubt and when you're still fighting for your spot and those types of things over the course of 3, 4, 5 seasons, like, okay, well, you know, you're definitely not a top 5 person in the world if you haven't even proven to your coach that you're going to be on the team sheet every single week and starting every single week. That's kind of how I was thinking about it the other day when I saw some of the comments.
No, and there's levels. Then there's that. And then if you look at Messi level, remarkable, you look at any graph, you know, and you see all the dots of other players. And then on any plot, his dot is completely off the grid. You know what kind of graphs I'm talking about? So, I don't know, assists per 90 minutes or goals per 90 minutes over years. There's a big blob of data points representing all the top level players in the world. And then Messi's off all the way in the top right corner by himself. That's outlier level shit. That's remarkable.
I like the word outlier too. And we were talking about language a couple weeks ago and you know, how important it is for people to really, you know, change their language or update or graduate to a new vocabulary. And outlier is something that we should probably add to that list of words that can be used, because that totally changes the conversation. You know, if somebody's going to claim that, you know, this is the best American player in history, okay, well, what makes him such an outlier? You know, what puts his dot on the graph so far away from every other American player that he can be considered that, you know, that legendary? And considering the word outlier, or using the word outlier, I think really helps to crystallize, you know, where he really is at this moment, which is kind of just in the middle of a pack.
Indeed. And listen, if I had to give my opinion, I'm going to say Christian's going to end up being those great things for our country. But anything can happen. Imagine a scenario where, for whatever reason, he kind of dips in form, not doing very well. Timo Werner, Ziyech, all these influx of players at Chelsea kind of beat him out in the starting position, and he kind of fizzles and fades and does okay or whatever. Do we still, you know, and that goes on for the rest of his career until he retires, would we still consider him the best American ever? Or all of a sudden, is Clint Dempsey still kind of in that discussion, or the guy, or is it Landon, or is it all the guys that are usually talked about and not Christian? Anything can happen, I guess, is my point, John. His career is still early and still budding. I think that won't happen. I think he will end up being at the top of the pile. But gosh, we just need to have a little bit of patience, you know?
No, it's important too. And people are starting to get fed up with the kind of like the hastiness of getting or getting on these guys, like the hype train, and how fast these guys are accelerated to remarkable status or things like that from the American soccer media. It seems there's a big push to prop up anybody that does anything good very fast. And from what I've seen on social media, people are getting a little bit tired of that. And I think that's a good thing, actually. So hopefully some of the media members figure that out and start to chill a little bit with their narratives.
Good. No, so John, that's pretty much all I had is, listen, remarkable. It's something that's worthy of attention. Worthy of attention can be on the negative side, or it could be on the positive side. We care more about the positive side. We're talking about one-time remarkable events or actions versus consistency, and doing those remarkable actions consistently over time. Then the individual becomes the remarkable thing and not the individual action. We can talk about other things. We can talk about coaches. Caleb Porter was remarkable at Akron because he completely overturned conventional wisdom that you could not play possession soccer in the men's college game here. He proved everybody wrong. He won a national championship playing a Barcelona type of style that had never been seen before, as far as I'm concerned. And then, we've said this before, but Brian did the same thing at the top youth level in the country. Everybody would always say that it's impossible to play Barcelona style football with youth players, whether that be 10-year-olds or 18-year-olds. And he proved everybody wrong, being able to do it at every age, from 10-year-olds all the way to 18-year-olds, and at the highest levels of the youth game here in the country, and traveled overseas and played the same exact style to great success against the best youth clubs in the world. So these are things that are definitely remarkable. And in both cases, they show consistency. They weren't one-time random flukes that happened in one game or in just a handful of games. They were done in every game throughout the course of many, many years. And then, of course, we can talk about Tata Martino coming into the league, MLS, where the same thing was always touted. You can't play great football, possession style, lightning fast combination play, controlled football here in the league because you have all these restrictions placed on you, be it the salary cap, be it all these trade mechanisms, be it the players aren't good enough, every excuse under the sun. And Tata Martino proved everybody wrong. And within 2 years, he won an MLS Cup playing that style of football. He departed after his second year. And look at what happened to Atlanta United. It went off a cliff and it sucks balls all of a sudden. So it definitely isn't something that, or I should say, it was definitely, the parameter that changed there was Tata Martino.
What would be your reaction to somebody that made the claim like about Bruce Arena and his success in American soccer with how many titles he's won and, the consistency that he's demonstrated with being one of the top American coaches? How would you kind of navigate that?
Well, I think it is remarkable or worthy of remark. I think the distinction there is in the degree of difficulty of one action versus the other. It's also widely known that Bruce's teams, be it DC United or the LA Galaxy, were allegedly afforded a lot of advantages on the roster side of the equation. That's one. And even if that's not the case, I like to view it as Bruce was the best among the worst. And that's how I see it, John. Just like in youth soccer and college soccer here, just to keep it domestic to the U.S., you know, people win titles every single season, every single year, every single age group. And it doesn't make them necessarily special. It just particularly can be, you are the best among the worst. You and I have had this discussion previously, and I think we've said it on the podcast before, that Brian and I were constantly questioning ourselves if that is the case with us also. And I don't want to include myself. I'll just say that it's Brian. Is Brian just the best among the worst here in the U.S.? And that's why he's been able to stick out for all these years, and that he might actually suck, but everybody else sucks more is my point. And I think the litmus test, or something that gives me a little bit of hope and confidence that that's not the case, is, well, you know, Brian took his teams overseas and then competed against a lot of teams overseas, the best of the best, and he was able to execute there as well. You know, if you contrast that maybe with a Bruce Arena and then go to CONCACAF Champions League, which isn't even the highest level in the world by any stretch of the imagination, well, there's a lot of failure there. And then if you go to the national team side of the equation and what's been accomplished there, well, not much, although I don't want to be too harsh on Bruce in that front, because let's face it, you know, if you're confronted with Brazil, Argentina, Germany, these types of teams, Spain, France, it's just the fact that we're just far behind. But anyways, long story short, I think the way I view it is he's good, but good relative to a bunch of crap, put it bluntly.
And that goes back to the conversation that we've had about levels as well. So, you know, there's levels to it, and, you know, Major League Soccer or US soccer, American soccer, you know, is a level, but, you know, where on the scale does that level, you know, exist? And it's, I don't think it's anywhere near the top. So, you know, like you kind of categorize it, you know, the best of the worst is not necessarily anything special.
And it's worth, again, it's remarkable, but remarkable here domestically, because if I go overseas and if I go to Spain, if I go to France, if I go anywhere and I say Bruce Arena, nobody's gonna say, wow, that's a remarkable coach. In fact, what'll probably happen is they'll say, who? and that's just the reality.
Yeah. And somebody said that about a player too. Maybe last year.
I've said that on many occasions about Christian Pulisic when he was playing at Dortmund, having some success as a young teen at Borussia Dortmund, which is, again, worthy of remark, no doubt about it. But if I were to go to South America, if I were to go to France, if I were to go to Spain, Italy, and I said Christian Pulisic, they would absolutely say, who the fuck are you talking about? And I think right now, with what he's done at Chelsea, I think he might be breaking through that little ceiling to another level, where maybe now if I go to Sergio Ramos and I ask Sergio Ramos, hey, Sergio, you know who Christian Pulisic is? He might be able to say, oh, yeah, that's the American player at Chelsea. Maybe, John, maybe.
That's a different realm. That's a different level. When you're known across, you know, the best, not in the conversation of who the best of the players or best players in the world are, but when that class of people knows who you are, I think is a good distinction.
It's just the reality. And then if you go, you know, down a step, you go to Weston McKennie, which everybody here is raving about in the United States. If I go to South America, or if I go to Spain, or if I say Weston McKennie to the average Joe who follows football, who knows a shit ton about football, they're going to say, who the fuck are you talking about? It's just the reality.
One thing that I was thinking about too, is you were talking about Christian again, and I don't want this to sound like it's just a Christian bash session, but
no, it's not.
No, not at all. And we've talked about it before. I don't know if we've said it on the podcast, but there, when it comes to levels and how hard it is to do something like what Christian did the other day against a Champions League winner, against the Premier League winner, against that caliber of players. Well, did those players, did Jurgen Klopp, did the Liverpool team, did they game plan to stop Christian? Was that part of their tactic, or was the game plan to stop somebody else on Chelsea's roster? And I say that in the sense that, you know, every team has to game plan to stop Messi. Every team has to game plan to stop Ronaldo, to stop Neymar, to stop Aubameyang, to stop those players. So, you know, if Christian is able to execute those types of things, is it because he's afforded the time and space, or the tactical plan is not to necessarily stop him, but actually to let him have the ball and let him be the person that does those types of things? That's something that needs to be considered as well. And if Christian reaches the point where they're game planning to stop him, is he still going to be able to execute like that, or will he disappear from the face of the earth? I think that that's something that just people need to keep an eye on as he continues to progress.
Yeah, it's a general good educational point. It doesn't have to be about Christian. We can just speak about it generally as leveling up, you know. And we're only talking about Christian because everybody in our audience knows who Christian is, and then they can relate to a tangible example. But yeah, you're right. I think the next step for him will be, again, at Chelsea, to earn his place, to cement his place with all the new transfers coming in. He has that challenge in front of him. And then perhaps if he executes that and he's able to solidify that starting role, the next step, you know, the next level would probably be what you said. You know, if he becomes the marquee guy on that Chelsea team, which we hope he will become, then teams will start game planning around him. They'll start ladder marking him. They'll start, you know, maybe man marking him. There's a variety of ways of trying to extinguish somebody's influence on a match. And that'll be your next challenge. And we'll see.
And if he's able to accomplish that consistently over time, that would be remarkable.
Phenomenal, of course.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you think we need to say about this topic?
No, I think that's a good spot.
Our flagship program helps coaches and trainers discern what is good for their teams and for their players. But now we've created a program for parents. Because parents, you are personal trainers too. Yep, that's right. And in order to properly mentor your player, you need to know what's good and what's not. Just like coaches, you and your player are flooded with thousands of training videos on YouTube and Instagram. But most of them are a waste of time because they aren't relevant. They don't translate to the real game. And figuring out what does and what doesn't, and why, is just flat out difficult, especially if you don't have a background in soccer to lean on. So we've taken Brian Kleiman's more than 20 years of experience working with teams and individual players, from U9 to U19, and extracted valuable lessons that can help you navigate the minefield that is American youth soccer. But this isn't just about drills. That's only a small fraction of it. And to be honest, you can get drills anywhere. What you're getting with the 343 Masterclass are the cultural lessons and an education in philosophy that other trainers and courses don't offer. It's these elements that can help you understand the landscape, read the game on and off the field, and translate everything into real development for your player. Right now, you can get on the list for the 343 Masterclass. We are currently rolling it out little by little to small groups. To reserve your spot, go to 343masterclass.com. All right, thank you for listening. Do you have a question about the topic that we covered in this episode? If so, we'd love to hear from you, and we will be answering some of your questions at the end of next week's episode. Submit your questions on Twitter or head to 343coaching.com to leave your question in the comment section. Make sure that you are subscribed to 343 FM on your favorite podcasting app. The show is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and many more platforms. And if you're feeling super generous, we'd love it if you dropped us a 5-star rating or a review. And don't forget that you can find our entire library of podcast episodes, over 200 written articles, and our online courses that help accelerate the development of coaches and players using methods that have been proven to work here in the United States. Once again, all of that can be found at 343coaching.com. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We will catch you next time here on the 343 Podcast.